In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shot. Go, go, go.
Why, thank you, John. We do want to sink that HMS Beagle below into the depths of ignorance. Oh, well, we're here to lighten your day here on
Sink the Beagle.
I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, and we take lighthearted looks at the serious issues of evolution and creation because that's what we like to do. If you really want to know, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But you wish you could be doing it too.
And if you really want good and solid information on this subject, change the channel now. But anyway.
No.
Okay,
no,
stay
no,
tuned.
No, don't All cut right. us too short, man. You cut me deep. You cut me deep, Stan. No. Today we want to talk, speaking of sinking the beetle and putting a boat to the bottom of the of the ocean, so to speak. You know, culture has been trying to sink a certain boat of its own.
Ooh.
They wouldn't call it Sink the Beagle. They'd call it bullets for, you know, Sink Noah.
Yeah, sink
neutralize
Noah.
The Noah story.
Down goes the Ark. And
yeah.
Really what you're talking about is kind of a, you know, we're seeing a flood of interest in this subject of late. Well, for instance, there's a movie coming out called Evan the Almighty, and Evan Almighty, and it has to do with a Noah's story.
Noah's Ark.
Yeah,
kind
Noah's
of,
Ark.
You know, where the cult, the society is kind of sort of lampooned the spiritual stories of God and biblical truth, and especially mm-hmm. things that challenge current scientific thinking on issues mm-hmm. of Earth's formation, topography. They like to see gradualism and uniform
the great
formation.
Hope, at some level, there's a great hope lying in perhaps very many of our hearts that don't tell me, please don't let me think that God has interposed and interacted in history so much that he actually destroyed the world once when it got out of hand.
That kind of had to hurt.
And
that's what the Bible records, though, that he did do it.
The Bible makes it clear that that did happen. And in fact, it's not just the Bible that says that, John, but other cultures and historical references.
Yeah, when when you do the history, and many of them, I've just did some recent reading for a paper I presented, but when you do the history of ancient cultures and their stories of catastrophe of old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what happened that really that everyone kind of remembered the event. You know, when we look at events mark our time. You know,
mm-hmm.
people know where they were on November 22nd, 1963. If you're a certain
right.
age, you know
right.
that's the day John Kennedy died. I was
yeah.
in first grade and
mm-hmm.
we had to pray at the side of our desk because
mm-hmm.
I was in a parochial school for the president. And people who were born long ago would know where they were when they heard the news of December 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah,
in our day, we mark our time. Where were you when you heard about 9/11?
9/11.
Well, could you imagine things like that in history have occurred too? And they don't so
right.
much have a date with them, but they record the event. And there's okay. one catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hear about a lot of cultures telling about volcano stories,
mm-hmm.
though there's quite a few places in the world that
yeah.
could have one.
Well, Pompeii and other civilizations have been destroyed. Maybe Crete, the Minoan culture in Crete apparently
yeah,
was destroyed.
But
that was a fairly localized and it wasn't everywhere. You know?
Not everybody had the same story.
No.
You don't have the giant earthquakes. So earthquakes mm-hmm. are all in many, many places and most places mm-hmm. in the world have experienced at some
yep.
time or another.
And some devastating ones.
And devastating earthquakes, and you don't hear about
not
them.
Destroyed.
There's a few here or there, asteroids.
Right.
No, there is one, though,
mm-hmm.
that almost every ancient culture records as a catastrophe that occurred. That everyone mm-hmm. says, you know, back when I was a little there, as a
yeah.
whippersnapper, we
yes.
had the big one.
The big one.
In, you know, the big one.
The
flood, as we like to say. It's that
hard
F word that, like faith. Another one that the evolutionists
communities won't speak.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
Well, and you know, John, I think I once said this on Sink the Beagle some time ago. But last summer, I visited the Smithsonian Institute in Washington, D.C., and the new Native American Indian Museum, fabulous place. And I was up at the top floor, and this Indian guide, this Native American guide, was touring a group around and mentioning that in her culture, they had memories. They had this story of the spirit, the Great Spirit, having destroyed the world with water. And she made a reference. She said to the group there and says, "And you guys have that in your records too, in your history. Isn't that right? You know, maybe there's something to it.
Maybe all the stories are looking back as ancient memory to the same event.
To a factual event that took place in man's history.
And there's lots of programs. I'm going to go, by the way, you mentioned Evan Almighty, which lampoons and makes comical. And I'm sure it's going to be a funny movie for those who like movie going. And if you're not too offended by the kind of the desecration of your sacred stories, you're probably going to laugh at it. But the point, that's not just there. You know, I believe it's the National Geographic channel, one of those channels came out, those cable channels, not too long ago, came out with one that says, "Hey, we've discovered the real flood." The real flood.
That was when the Black Sea got flooded.
That must be the flood that the Bible records, because it's about that time in their mind. Yeah. And, you know, they want to get a label that takes out the supernatural. They want to record it as a natural event recorded in supernatural terms so they can take away any reference to God actually being the one who caused the flood.
Right. And, of course, what you want to do is you want to make some natural disaster of some kind, something pretty big. So make it some kind of inundation or some additional water coming into the Black Sea and flooding coastal towns or some humongous river overflow or something that devastated a society. And maybe that was the beginning of these stories that kind of
and everybody
got
had
bigger,
a legend
bigger
and they
time.
All differ.
Yeah.
But really, the difference could be that as cultures got farther and farther, by the way, the closer you are to what would be modern day Israel, the central part of the Middle East, or Turkey, Syria, the closer you are, the more your flood stories resemble that of the Bible.
That's right.
The farther you get away from it is where the ancient cultures began to diverge more and more, but they still remembered
they lose more of the detail the further you get away geographically, but there seems to be some consistency. The gods were unhappy with the people of the earth, and they destroyed it with water. Some survived it by being on a log or a boat, and from that little group, once again the world was repopulated. There's some similarities in all of the stories, although it differs in detail. But it's interesting, John. It does seem that the world would like to say that these things never happened. You know, it's just something local, or, you know, let's make fun of the story. Let's always have pictures of the Ark as a cute little place with two heads of giraffes sticking out and two elephants and two this and that and a cutesy little child fairy tale story and forgetting really the powerful and tragic.
A huge boat in catastrophic conditions.
Oh, the story of the flood is just unbelievable and just world changing and has messages all over the place.
And what's sad is that preceding that story in the Bible is also just a story of decay and violence and evil going on.
Yep.
So it's not a cutesy story that has,
it's
you
not
know,
a
we've
fun
tamed
story.
That story so much when the rain comes down and the waters come up a little bit, everyone's in the boat and they're happy.
It was terrifying for the inhabitants of the world.
These aren't animals smiling as they go in. Mm. This is the strangest event ever witnessed on Earth up until this point that humanity has witnessed. And it probably caused a few heads to turn.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right. Well, John, I'd like you to ask me a question about the Ark right now.
I'm ready for that question. You told me you'd like me to fire one at you, a real tough one. Okay. With interest in the Ark, there's been many historians and archaeologists who have actually looked for the Ark. I mean, a boat that big would be hard to miss. Yep. Have they found Noah's Ark?
No.
Okay. Next question. Tune in next week to sing the Beagle. The question is, a lot of people think that, you know, well, there's been lots of people who searched. The famous astronaut James Irwin spent a lot of his life.
Yep. We're talking
later
about
searching.
You know, the Bible says that the Noah's Ark is settled in the mountains, plural, of Ararat. And the mountains of Ararat represents not only Mount Ararat, but other mountains in the eastern part of modern Turkey today.
Yeah.
And in an area where in anciently was in the country of Armenia.
My son was pretty close to that when he was in the Southern Caucasus there.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He was down there in the same neck of the woods. And with the easing of tensions between Turkey and Russia now and the Cold War being over, actually they've allowed quite a few more expeditions into the area, and they've looked high and low, literally, for the Ark. They've not found it. They found rock formations that are boat-shaped and from the air kind of look like a boat, or might suggest being part of it. But when they get down there and examine them, there's really very little physical evidence, a lot of anecdotal evidence of stories of people supposedly that have seen it, but no one's been able to actually locate it. And, John, do we need to find the Ark to believe in the story?
No, we got the story recorded in a book called The Bible. Matter of fact, we have a torpedo text that tells us we ought to pay attention to those stories because they can teach us something not only about what happened back then when God judged the world, but what may happen in the future. And so read to us a torpedo text, Stan.
This is from Matthew 24, verse 37. It says, and these are the words of Jesus, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man." So just like they probably thought Noah was nutso when he was talking about a coming flood and you better get into this big wooden thing we call the ark, in the same way, probably people will be hearing the message that Jesus is coming soon with a lot of skepticism.
Where is the sign
of
his coming?
You know, you're a nutcase too. And do you really think God did it before with the flood? You know, there'll be those kind of scoffers. The Bible talks about scoffers.
Peter says, you know, there'll be last days, there's going to be mockers and scoffers.
And mocking and scoffing what?
The flood.
The flood.
And the coming of Christ. Where is the promise of his coming? Just as everything slept and it escapes their notice, it says, that God, the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and by water and through which it was destroyed, being flooded with water.
The world was destroyed. That's in the Old Testament?
That's
what
in
you
the
just
Old
read?
I just read 2 Peter 3.
That's in the New Testament. New Testament
New
records
Testament,
say
yeah,
that the flood happened too.
That's what Peter's saying, that Jesus, apparently the Spirit of God informed him. That, by the way, remind him of the flood. They're going to mock you. They're going to scoff you, just like, you know. But in the end, they'll have had opportunity, again, choice.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, with this increasing interest in the Ark in these days, it just seems like there's this tendency once more to build the scoff level up, if you know what I mean. Turn up the scoffing and
the
mocking.
Kind of like the dissonance of clear to muddy the water, so to speak. Stir up the mud.
You know what I wonder, John? I wonder if there's at some level of human consciousness some sense that, you know, I don't know how much more this world is going to continue. Maybe there's some force. Maybe God is going to step in and finish things, because how much worse can the world get, you know? And maybe people are living with that, and maybe it's a fearful thought for some, and maybe they're trying to deal with those fears by scoffing and making light of the world, you know? I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I think that, Stan, that seems to be a very easy way not to face the reality and the responsibility of our lustful natures, of our brokenness.
Yep.
And so we tend to want to dodge that bullet of judgment. We hate shame. We avoid it like the plague. Mm-hmm. Instead of fessing up, coming clean through a different type of flood, being buried in the flood of baptismal waters up out of a Jordan. We can be like Pharaoh and face it all. But we hope, friends, that you will be of those who are eager to anticipate the coming and the end of this world, and the coming of our Savior. Tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Isle.